seated. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to continue our series on parables, and I'm excited about this. Again, parable is the word parabole, or we would use the word parabola. It means symmetry. Just like a parabola in math, it's an arch that has the same angle on both sides. That's what a parable is. You have a story and a truth that match. The story is not the issue. The truth is the issue. Tonight, we're going to start. We've been in the Old Testament for many, many weeks. And tonight, we'll hit the first in the New Testament. Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read 20 verses to you. So get your finger licked up and ready. I'm going to read 20 verses very quickly, and then we're going to jump right into this. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. Actually, sat in the ship in the sea. Let's see here. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. That's in reference to the devil and the devil and his angels. He didn't want them to understand the gospel. Verse 13, And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure, but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, this is obviously the parable of the sower and the seed. Now, if you would like, don't do it now, but Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 23, Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, repeat the very same parable. All right, it's in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 13, here in Mark 4, and Luke chapter 8. Now, there are no other parables in the rest of the Bible other than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. After the ones we've studied in the Old Testament, there are no parables in the book of John or thereafter. You will see many parables, though, that'll be in two books, some in three, some just mentioned once. Doesn't matter necessarily how many times that they're there. Let remind you something. The parable is the symmetry of the truth. There's a story, but the truth is symmetrical to the story. Now, the truth is illustrated by the story, but the truth is the main issue. Don't get all befuddled here when it talks about in verse 11 and verse 12 that he didn't tell them what it was because he didn't want them to know what it was. It's a mystery. That mystery was to the devil and his angels so that the devil would crucify Jesus. If you remember, he was hiding the gospel from them, and he did not want the angels and the evil spirits to get saved, because they would not have then crucified the Lord of glory. That's what that is in reference to. Now, let me give you some facts here. Look at verse number 2 for just a second. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his, what's the next word?
Doctrine.
Now look at me. Parables contain doctrine. There are too many people that say, well, you don't preach deep because you use too many stories, too many illustrations. Well, my Bible says Jesus preached by parables, and he was teaching them doctrine. Doctrine is what the core beliefs are. And he was using parables to teach core beliefs. There are too many religious, pious idiots out there who think they're something because they can use big words, talk over everybody's head, and say, we think, wow, aren't they spiritual? You don't know one thing they said. How do you know they're spiritual? Well, they use big words. That's not what God said. God said Jesus spoke by parables and taught them doctrine. So he made it simple for everybody to understand. Now, let me give you the story very quickly here. Bible says a man goes out to sow seed. It's the old-fashioned way of sowing seed. He didn't have a spreader. He had a basket or a bag full of seed, and he'd go out, dip his hand in, and he would walk and cast seed this way as he went. If you had a big area to do seed with, sometimes you would do something like that. And the Bible says as he would go, he'd dip his hand in. Of course, some of it's going to fall out right at your feet as you're walking, and some of it's going to hit stony ground. Some of it's birds are going to come and eat it. Some of it's going to hit the good ground, and others it's just going to fall at your feet in piles. Now, the Bible says some fell and the birds came and ate it. Some fell in the stony ground. That means there was a little bit of dirt there, but it was mostly rock. And it would germinate. It would start to spring forth, but as soon as the heat got a little hotter in the summer, that area would die off because there wasn't enough dirt underneath it to support life. It was too shallow of dirt. So when the stress of summer came, it just died off. The Bible says the others fell on good ground. But I want you to notice something about the good ground. It says some gave 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So you never know how much fruit will come no matter where it falls. Now, some fell among the thorns, and it grew, but the thorns choked it out. So it's falling on all these different places, and the story portion of the parable seems a little common. It's not anything that's real complicated. Brother Shane and some others have been working back here, clearing off this jungle back here on the back edge of the property. He's had his skid steer back there with grappling hooks, and they've been cutting some brush down, trees, dead trees and different things, and we've cleared everything out in the back and been burning and getting stuff all cleaned up, and we're getting ready to plant some grass seed back there. Say, what are you going to do? You get a big handful of seed, and you just start walking and doing this. We don't know which seed will work. You'll have spots that'll come in real good, some that may not come in very good at all. We'll have to go back through maybe later this fall and plant a little extra to fill in the spots that didn't work, or maybe we've got some rocks out there we didn't know, and it'll reveal itself by how the grass grows. Now, that's the story portion of this. If you get a little too close under those trees and there's some thorns in there, it might grow for a little bit, but those weeds and things will choke it out. Obviously, we'll feed some of the birds and the deer. If we feed them long enough, we might be able to shoot them this fall. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. There was five of them out there this morning, about 5:15. And I scared the bejeebers out of them when I walked back there. But anyway, you just never know what's going to eat that seed, but most of it will catch. Now, that was the story of the parable. What in the world was God teaching us? Well, we read from verse 13 to verse 20 exactly what Jesus was teaching us. The whole teaching of the parable is verses 13 through 20. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. We're going to use our Bibles a little bit. If you'll look and listen, I'll be able to help you. First of all, we find out that the seed is the word of God. Look at verse 14. The sower soweth the what?
Word.
Well, he was casting seed, and therefore the seed is the word, correct? Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 4. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 8. Hang on here. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Let me make sure. Yep, Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. He clarifies it in Luke, saying, the seed is the word of God. Now, listen to me. A seed is something that you don't think about probably quite as deeply today as they did back then. A seed is something that gives life to a plant, correct? But watch this. That seed doesn't just give life to a plant. It gives life to a plant that will grow and produce more than just one seed. You plant a kernel of corn, not a whole ear, but you plant a kernel of corn. How many ears of corn come on a stalk? 4 or 6? 3 to 4. How many, Dad? 2 to 3. 2 to 4, all right? So 2 to 4 stalks. Let's say 3. Well, every ear of corn has hundreds of kernels. So one kernel of corn could produce over 1,000, many probably a couple thousand, kernels of corn. It was just one seed. Just one seed could produce. You plant one seed of wheat. Well, you get a shock of wheat comes up, and that head on that thing, it's got scores and scores of grains of wheat on it. So that one little seed produces many fold. By the way, each one of those seeds has potential to be planted and produce more. That's what you have to understand. You plant a seed from an apple and get an apple tree, you get lots of apples out of a tree. Now, it only produces fruit for about 10 to 15 years productively, and then they're usually no good from there. But you get a lot of apples in 10 or 15 years off of one tree.
Right.
Now, so the seed produces much more than just a plant. It produces the ability to reproduce itself over and over and over again, many times over. The Bible gives life to people. The Bible gives spiritual life to people. But may I say this, it does more than just produce life. It produces life that can keep producing many lives. That's what the Word of God is for. Let me say something. Did you know that, okay, the young man I led to Christ today, he never really has been in church much in his whole life. It's all new to him. I started in John chapter 3 about Nicodemus and this being born again thing. He said, boy, yeah, that's confusing. I began to explain it to him, and he said, well, that's not so hard. I showed him, he agreed, we're all sinners. I showed him what sin was, where it takes us, about the devil. He understood that, how Jesus came, paid the price. He said, I believe that. I said, would you be willing to trust him? He said, sure would. Bowed his head and got saved. he said, "Wow, that's different." I said, "Yeah, let me show you what happened. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside you." I said, "Now you have the ability, you have somebody helping you at everything you do." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, you do." I said, "And as long as you obey that book, he has total freedom to help you." He was like, "How come I didn't come talk to you earlier?" I said, "Don't know, but you're here now. Let's not worry about what was. Let's take it from here on." Can I tell you something? That young man has potential to produce more seed. By the way, the man that brought him to me is a man I won to Christ. That man doesn't come to church like he should, but he brought somebody to Christ. He's still producing seed. Some may criticize him for not being at church, but at least he's concerned about somebody enough to bring him to Jesus. Now, you're not going to like this statement, but that's okay. Seed in the barn can produce nothing. It has to be planted to produce. Seed in the barn has potential, but if it never gets out of the barn, it can't produce. Turn your Bibles to Haggai. It's in the Old Testament, right before the book of Malachi. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, about three or four books back. It's not the Haggai, but Haggai, chapter 2, verse number 19. Haggai 2, look at verse number 19. The Bible says this: "Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you." In other words, how can you produce if the seed is still in the barn? If a farmer goes out and buys all kinds of seed for wheat and corn, leaves it in the barn this year and never plants it in the field, even if he goes out and plows the field, rakes the field, furrows the field, but he doesn't put any seed in the ground, what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. If you don't sow the seed is worthless. Psalm 125, 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So you have to sow in order to reap. Just because you have the seed doesn't mean you're going to produce anything. These churches that want people to sit on their blessed assurance and do nothing but learn, can I tell you something? They're putting the seed in the barn, and they got all kinds of potential, but they're not doing anything with it. Let me ask you a question. How much seed is in your barn? How much are we sharing the seed? I mean, all of us. Every saved person is to sow the seed. We're not responsible for the results. We're responsible for putting the seed in the ground. Do you know if a farmer gets a 100-pound bag of seed, he's not accountable for every one of those seeds to produce? His goal is to get them to produce as much as they can. But guess what? Is all he can do is get the soil ready and put the seed down, and the rest of it's up to God. That's what the Christian life is. We get saved. We have seed. We're supposed to spread that seed. We're supposed to plant the seed and let God worry about the results. Too many of us are worried about results. God says, no, just sow the seed. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in the stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance and the glory which be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Wow. 1 Corinthians. What was that? That wasn't 1 Corinthians. Was I in 2 Corinthians? I didn't think that sounded right. I'm thinking up here, what's going wrong here? Because that is not what I thought it was. Yeah, that looks better. Here we go, verse 6. Whew. That's the one. I'm up here going, wow. I don't know where to go with that. You heard the wow. I'm thinking, okay, God. Thank you, everybody, for criticizing me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. I have planted. There we go. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. Notice it says here, one plants, one waters. By the way, we do both when we're planting. But it's God that gives the increase. God gives the increase. We have no control over how people receive the word of God. Quit taking it so personal. I got over taking soul winning personal a long time ago. I understand when Jesus says, if they reject you, shake the dust off your boots and go to the next place. You say, why? Because I'm not accountable for how they receive it. I'm accountable to give it. I got to throw the seed out. What they do with it is up to them. Whether it falls among the birds and the birds eat it, whether it falls on stony ground, it goes up, whether it falls among the thorns, it gets choked out, or if it falls on good ground, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, it does not matter. I got the seed out. My job is to sow the seed, not worry about the results. Now, so number one, the seed is the word of God. We just need to sow the word of God. Take gospel tracts with you everywhere you go. Take them to the restaurant, gas stations. Take them to the doctor's office. Amen, Miss Wally. Get the doctor saved. Do wherever you go, do business. Take the gospel tracts with you. Good night. Just get the seed out. Get the word out. Send them in your bills. Make the bill collectors get angry at God, not me. So many things. Second of all, the type of soil is up to the hearer, not to the sower. Let me say that again. The type of soil is up to the hearer, not to the sower. Turn back to Mark chapter 4 again. Look at verse number 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. If you read all the way through verse 19, it talks about the different soils. The birds come and take it away. Stony ground, thorny ground, on good ground, but some of that's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, so even that's different. Now, Luke chapter 8, verses 12 through 15, Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 through 22, state the very same thing. Listen to this statement. The soil is based on the hearer. The seed is the word of God, and it's up to us to sow the seed, no matter what the soil. Did you know if you go knock on a door, tell them who you are. Hello, my name's Craig Bush. I'm pastor of Grace Baptist Church. We're going through the area. Do you go to church anywhere? I'm not interested. Okay, let me give you this. You have a great day. See you later. Guess what? I got the seed out. It may get devoured by Satan, but I did my part and got the seed out. Every once in a while, somebody gets saved, but they never show up to church. Or they'll show up once. Or there's people that get saved, they get excited, they come to church, they sprout, And the Bible says when the heat comes and the affliction comes, you don't see them again. They're still saved. It germinated. Quit judging their salvation. Quit judging if they're saved or not. They are saved. They started to grow. It germinated. They couldn't endure, but they're still saved. Now watch this. Some grow and get caught amongst the thorns. They grow a little longer, but they get in the wrong crowd, and the wrong crowd chokes them out. Not strong enough to get away from those that'll choke them. But they're still saved. Now wait a minute. Then the Bible says, some come and fall on good ground, and they produce 30-fold. Some produce 60-fold. Some produce 100-fold. Can I tell you something? Not everybody in church produces the same thing. You can plow a field, and different parts of the field produce more than other parts of the same field. Guaranteed. You're going to have low spots that get too wet on certain times. Might not produce as much. You're going to have some spots that's a little rockier, and it's going to cut the yield. You might have some spots that are too much shade. Some's got too much sunshine. Some's got the way the acids blow in from maybe you get too many leaves on one part and it gets too much acidity to it. And it's not going to produce as much as others on the other side of the field. You could have the same seed in the same field and get different yield in the same field in different patches. Let me ask you a question. Who are you to judge how fertile somebody's field is? It's not your soil. You're supposed to just get the word out. It's your job to sow the seed. It is the hearer's job to work on the soil to receive it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to be a 100-fold producer. But I can't tell you I'm always a 100-fold producer. Neither can you. In some area you may be, but not all areas. Some of it falls aside. Hello, I'm from Grace Baptist Church. I'm not interested. Say, what do you do, preacher? I leave the track in the door. I'm still going to leave the word of God. I don't let a slam door in my face stop me. Say, well, that offends me. Why does it offend you? They're rejecting God, not you. My job is to get the seed out. How they receive it is up to them. If I worried about how everybody received every sermon I preached, I'd have blown my brains out what little there was a long time ago. I can get criticized and praised out of the same sermon out of four different people. It's the most amazing thing. So what do you do, preacher? I just keep preaching what I'm supposed to preach. Enjoy the good, ignore the bad, and keep on going. Some falls on hard, stony ground, but it germinates quickly. But when the problems come, it dies off. You're going to see people come to our church, get saved. They look excited. They come for a while, maybe new family, come for a while, and they're gone. What happened to them? They had stony ground. Shallow dirt with a lot of hard rock underneath. It doesn't mean they're lost. It doesn't even mean they hate us. It just means they don't have much depth. They're not got a lot of Christian character, so they didn't last very long. But it doesn't mean they're dead forever. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Amen, preacher. Some falls among the thorns and grows, but gets choked out. Now, I don't know about you, I hate thorns. One of the reasons I wanted us to clean this thing out, that thing was full of multiflora rose back there. Any of you guys that grabbed into some of that stuff, you know, yeah, Brother Barnes' arms tore up back. That stuff's nasty. Especially this time of year because it's all dried out. But boy, does it burn good. That thorny stuff, man, it's nasty. You know, nothing else grows back in there. Once that stuff takes over, God says some of that seed could fall into there and start growing, but if those thorns aren't choked out, it'll choke out whatever you put in there. You get people with the wrong influence in a church, they'll choke out the good people. That's why I'm like stink on a bug when it comes to little cliques in churches. I hate those things. Well, we'll just have our own little group. I'll bust it up in a hurry. Well, I don't associate with them. Then you need to get right with God and come to the altar, because I'm about to bust you up. You say, why? Because you're trying to create your own little clique. And that'll ruin a church faster than anything. J. Frank Norris, I loved it. He took over church in Texas. When he got there, there was like 37 committees. Most of them were women's committees. He got up one day in front of the committee meeting of all committees. They were all meeting. He left his car running, stood outside the door, stood up and said, as of this moment, all committees are deceased and gone. See you later. Then walked out. Oh boy, did he split the church. But he built the two largest churches in the world at the same time, one in Fort Worth, Texas, and one in Detroit, Michigan, at the same time because of that. Traveling back and forth between them. 2 weeks in one, 2 weeks at the other. Say why? He busted up the cliques. He took on the Southern Baptist Convention and the American Baptist Convention, pulled the churches out, and God blessed. You talk about a rough preacher. You think I'm rough. I'm nice compared to him. Some fell among the thorns and got choked, but much of it fell on good ground. You know, you'll never know what soul winning does this side of heaven. I wonder how many people have gotten saved by leaving a track at a restaurant. Just a couple months ago, Mrs. Lopez was talking to a lady she works with that works part-time at a restaurant. She said, preacher, pray for me. I'm a witness to her. She went to work early, witnessed to this lady. She said, I already did that. Do you know Fred and Wally Skaggs? Yeah. She said, they used to come into the restaurant all the time, and Fred gave me one of those, and I went home and did that. I could tell you person after person after person, truck drivers and other people who have gotten saved. Had a man come when we were in the IRS building, had a truck driver come by. Mrs. Barnes gave him a track. She left that noon or whenever she went, about 2 o'clock that afternoon, my phone rang and picked it up at the church, and we were in the old IRS building down the road here. Guy says, I'm a truck driver. I stopped by your church this morning. He said, the lady at the front gave me this piece of paper. He said, I read that thing. It's been bothering me. He said, just want you to know, I pulled off the side of the road. I'm over here on I-70. He said, pulled off the side of the road, and it said to call you, tell you, but I did what I just did. Amen. We have no idea what giving a tract's going to do. No idea at all. But notice, some falls on good ground, and it produces 30, 60, or 100 fold. Next, and I'll finish with this. Not all production is the same. Not all production is the same. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Notice it says good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23 says virtually the same thing. Now, this is where you're not going to like me. You're not supposed to judge somebody else by how you bear fruit. Amen. Quit comparing everybody to yourself. Right. You're accountable for how you bear fruit, and you only. Amen. Stand up for a second, Brother Josh. I love my son. Did you know he's accountable for how he bears fruit? I'm not accountable for how he bears fruit.
That's right.
My wife and my daughter-in-law are sitting right back there. They're accountable for how they bring forth. You're not, neither am I. If that's the case, thank you. Quit judging everybody by how you bring forth fruit. God gave you two eyes, but did you know your eyes don't see everything? And you don't see it as clearly as you think you do. Most of us think we have a pretty good handle on life. Then how come you can't tell yourself what you're supposed to do? You know, the easiest person in the world to lie to is you. You can convince yourself you can do anything. Watch this, y'all. How many times have you said that and we regretted it? We are not to judge anybody based. What was that? Yeah, your body's feeling that. Yes, your wife was too after you put the stuff on top of the forge. Anyway, we're not supposed to judge anybody based on how we bear fruit. I've been soul winning for 40 years. Over 40 years. Do you know I'm not supposed to judge anybody based on my 40 years of experience? Let's wait another 40 years and see where they are. But also, they've not been the places I've been going soul winning. So how do I compare me to them? Well, it just makes sense, preacher. No, it doesn't. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. You can be planted in the same field and produce different yields. People are like a field, depending on all the different mixtures going into it with the soils and the heat and the shade and the moistures and all the different things. Guess what? Their productivity is going to go up or down based on all of that. You could plant every kernel of corn off of the same ear of corn, and no two of those kernels will produce the same amount of kernels afterwards, depending on where you plant them. You could even plant them in a straight line, and they would have different yield. So if that wouldn't work, how do we expect people to produce the same thing? We must realize that we are the sower. Not everybody's going to produce. Not every seed will produce. Not everybody's going to be 100-fold. But our job is to sow the seed, and the seed is the word of God. The parable of the sower is very simple. Because the seed is the Bible, we should sow pure seed. Let's not sow fake seed. Let's use the right word, the word of God. Not because of something we heard in days gone by. Not because somebody did something in a church 40 years ago when we were a kid. No, we're to sow the seed, the word of God, and do it the way God said. Let's just do it God's way, and let's quit judging everybody. Some seed going to get eaten up by the devil. Some will produce, die out when the persecution, affliction, heat comes. Some's going to grow and get choked out by the wrong crowd, and some's going to grow and hit good ground, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. By the way, just as that young man got saved today by someone who germinated and kind of fell by the wayside a little bit, guess what? It may get them back into the good ground. There is such a thing called transplant. Be careful you don't write everybody off to the booger man just because they're not doing what you think they should do. Let's let God take care of it. Let's just spread the seed. Let's not keep the seed in the barn. Let's not keep it in the bag. Let's just keep sowing the seed. That's what God meant by the parable of sowing the seed. And let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I hope you take this one personal. I do. I hope we let this one smack us right square in the nose where it should.